Hello and welcome to the Mirror Project. We are your hosts, Christine
and Alexandra,
and we're thrilled to have you joining us for a special two-part Mother's Day episode featuring our amazing moms, Rose and Candace. As Mother's Day approaches, we're diving into the intricacies of parenting styles, reflecting on how our moms' approaches have shaped us and what they might have done differently. From sharing fond memories to a bit of good-natured teasing, this episode is a heartfelt tribute to the women who have shaped us. Welcome to you both, and thank you so much for joining us. Alexandra, why don't you kick us off and introduce us to your mom?
All right. So hi, everyone. I'm introducing one of our two fabulous guests today, Candace. As a proud mom of our very own Alexandra, that's me, Candace brings a vibrant blend of intellect, creativity, and curiosity to the table. When she's not busy being an amazing mom, you can find her lost in the pages of a book, exploring arts and gardening, or engaging in a lively philosophical debates that span from the mundane to the mind-bending. Armed with her favorite question, why, Candace fearlessly explores the depths of all things that make us human, unraveling mysteries and challenging conventions along the way. With a background in advertising and a stint in web design and development, she's no stranger to navigating new paths. Currently embarking on a quest to discover her next passion, Candace is a true inspiration to us all. Welcome to the show, Mom.
Thank you for inviting myself and Rose today for your Mother's Day podcast. I'm glad to be here.
Well, we're so glad to have you joining us today. And I have the privilege of welcoming a woman whose love and laughter light up many lives, none other than the incredible Rose. As the nurturing mother of three remarkable daughters, yours truly, Nicole and Victoria, and the devoted caretaker of her beloved pup, Beau, Rose brings nearly three decades of motherly wisdom and warmth to every moment. With a passion for the beach, gardening, and creating laughter-filled moments with loved ones, she infuses joy into every moment. Her infectious smile has the power to brighten even the gloomiest of days, and her hugs, well, they're nothing short of magic. With a newfound passion for furniture restoration and a career spanning over 15 years in school administration, Rose's journey is one of boundless curiosity and endless possibility. Thank you so much for joining us today, Mama. Welcome.
Thank you, Christine and Alexandra. Candace, it's great to see you again, and it's thrilling to be here this morning as we discuss mother-daughter relationships. Thank you.
So let's dive in, shall we?
Before we dive into today's topic, like, subscribe, or follow us on your preferred listening platform. Go ahead, pause, and do it now before you forget. Don't worry, we won't get started without you.
All right, so this first segment is all about parenting styles. Can you describe to us your parenting styles? Why don't we start with my mama?
Okay, survival is first thing that comes to mind.
Yeah, with three girls.
Three girls, yes, absolutely. Survival, staying consistent with the three of you, and teaching right from wrong, accountability, and most importantly, non-comparing the girls. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And lastly, a whole lot of love and understanding and acceptance of who each individual was my take on how to survive raising three daughters, which was a true joy. I loved every minute of it and still am.
Yeah. Mama, you always did it with such style and grace. I never for a moment thought that you were, I can imagine how overwhelming, and we're still very overwhelming, so God bless you. But when we were like less than 5 years old, having three ones running around, I can only imagine. But I always remembered just how graceful and understanding you were. So I have a lot of fun.
Well, thank you.
I'm just thinking of three teenage girls at one time. That was probably a lot of hormones.
the elementary school the high school years were interesting, but the elementary school years I think were more interesting, just given the dynamic of girls in general. Not so much it's the external women in their lives that were playing a role in how they would navigate waters at school and friendships. Mm-hmm. So that was I think the most challenging part Once we got to high school, it went really quickly, and they developed some really lifelong friends, which I'm very grateful for. Mm-hmm. And then before I knew it, they were off to college and had to start all over.
Yeah. On that lovely note, Mom, what about you? What would you describe your parenting style as with me?
This was hard because I looked at what your question about where to start, was unsure of where to start other than I had some pretty good examples. And all I could say was old fashioned, the same characteristics that Rose had mentioned: respect, love, acceptance, meaning acceptance, how to treat other people, why that was important, and the expectation. And then just the somehow imparting the desire to be and use everything that you've been given, all your gifts and your abilities, to their best purpose, to be your best version of yourself. And that is a journey. That is a journey for both parents and children, navigating those waters and teaching your children that.
And I was no easy child. I think I had too much of my own mind.
I think listening to Rose, I realized that each having one and having multiple, certainly multiple daughters, are different challenges, very different challenges. And frequently I've thought with women with multiple children, let alone multiple daughters, that would be maybe more than I was capable of. I could see that survival is definitely part of that.
Yes. Well, I think also, I don't have kids yet, but seeing my mom be the mother to more than one kid, I think she just really, that was her situation. And she found a way to navigate it all. I think it really speaks to the adaptability. And you may think you can't, but it's amazing what you actually can do. So I think that's a really beautiful and remarkable thing that I've taken away from watching my mom be who she is. Yeah.
It absolutely is a challenge to discover things in yourself and surprise yourself at what you're absolutely capable of, what you can do when you need to.
Absolutely. I think too, for me, I chose to have three children. Didn't know exactly what I was going to get. And God bless me with three beautiful girls. And I just embraced that and really enjoyed the process. Watching them grow and become the people who they are, it was just very exciting for me to be a witness to the beautiful people they became.
I think there's going to be some tears in this episode.
Yeah. I fall to pieces at the drop of a hat, so... Why don't we shift focus a little bit and maybe talk about how your style, like when your approach to parenting, how your styles were similar to that of your parents, or if not, what did you do to change and what constituted that change? And why don't we start with Candace?
I think I had a really fantastic motherly example in my grandmother. She gave unconditional love. And I say that, and people sometimes think that means that there was no discipline or expectation. And that absolutely was not the truth. I think unconditional love also includes respect. And if you respect someone, you're going to live up to their expectations, right? Mm-hmm. And then how it would be different. I think that it's a generational thing a little bit too. I think parents had different expectations for their children when I was growing up. And then my expectation was to be more participatory, more present, I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what I was doing when I had Alexandra. And I just had to I was also an older parent. I'd had a career, I'd had a job, and I looked like it. This is something I'm going to have to work at, and I'm going to make mistakes along the way, but we're both going to do some learning along the way. And I think that's how it was different than my parents. I expected to be constantly challenged, and I was, and she provided that. She provided that.
I think she might still.
I would like to point out.
Joyfully. Yes, that is true.
I'd also like to point out that I think you asked for that in a child. Let's not. You wanted a challenging, intelligent child. And sometimes you have to be careful what you ask for. Because you got it.
Yes. I distinctly recall asking her to, for all those things and to be all those things and to be a person who knew their mind and to follow their mind. And it's precisely what I got.
Mm-hmm. And I like how when she tries
much
to throw out,
my joy.
Why are you like this? And I'm like, hey, you know what? You have only yourself to account to because I just came this way.
I certainly cannot imagine this times three for Rose. I really cannot imagine. And then keeping them separate. Oh, I need to go this way for this one and this way for that one and whoop, down that way for this one.
And then, you know, like also, so you have individual relationships with each of your kids, and then your kids all have relationships with themselves. And then so looking, the web just goes, because then you can look at, okay, Christine's relationship with Nicole and my relationship in that, and my part in that relationship.
Oh, right.
Because, oh gosh, Mama, sometimes I look back on when we were kids, and God bless, Nicole and I would go at it. I love her to death. She's one of my best friends, but boy, oh boy, I think back when we were kids, it was very high tension at times between her and I. And then when Tori came along, she was like, I look back fondly on when, because I was 6 years older. I'm 6 years older than Tori. At a certain point when I sort started watching, I'll let my mom share her points here in a moment, but I just wanted to share. When I got to be, I think 12 is when I, maybe even younger, started helping mom out babysitting and being like a mom's mini me and helping out Tori. It's just interesting how she navigated not only our relationships one-on-one with her, but also the relationships we had as siblings and how she helped the mediator and the friend and all of that. Anyway, Mama, why don't you share with us your approach to parenting styles and what did you take from your parents and what did you change?
I agree with a lot of what Candace has shared already. I think the first thing is most important is to remember different times when my parents were raising us. It's vastly different than when I was raising you and your sisters. And so that's a whole nother different dynamic that you have to take into account. We're dealing with, for the first time, cell phones and social media. Mm-hmm. And when I was growing up, that was not even a thing. Mm-hmm. There was no experience for us to draw from to navigate those waters other than to ask you to have face-to-face conversations and not do your talking through some sort of device with each other. Mm-hmm. So parenting style was just to help encourage you to be your authentic self in a world where a lot of people don't like that. Mm-hmm. They like to hide behind a different face. And it's very challenging. It's very lonely. Mm-hmm. But through a lot of love and support and knowing you're accepted for who you are helped you grow as a beautiful individual, which was the ultimate goal, is to have you have your own voice, especially with women today. Finding their voice sometimes can be overshadowed by other things. Right. And helping you with that support, knowing that what you have to say and think and share is important. Hopefully that answered the question of my parenting style.
Definitely.
Yeah. I'm going to jump in here, if I may, and tag into what Rose said, because at the start of it, she reminded me that, and I don't know if this was your experience, Rose, when we were growing up, you set out on a Saturday morning on your bike, and you could be gone until dinner time, and nobody worried about you. You had landline phones, parents knew your friends, they knew the neighborhood, and you'd just be gone, and you'd show up when Alexandra, I remember not even wanting her to be out in the front yard alone because of the stories of children being kidnapped and all of that. And so, yes, our ability to communicate expanded, but it also created a lot of more potential for being alert and aware. Had she been gone 12 hours, I would have had called out the National Guard.
I lost my mind. There was just no way that you were going to be out of sight for an extended period of time. We could not do that. But growing up, for me, it was like had to come home when the streetlight came on. We never got out of line because the neighbors were watching. And we knew that. We respected authority, adults. We knew that if we stepped out of line, our parents were going to hear about it. And those consequences helped shape us who we are today.
I think also I've had many conversations with both my parents about what they've changed when they decided to have children of their own from how they were raised. And one of the things that always struck me was, I think, I can't remember if Dad or if you said it, Mom, but your parents did the best they could with what they had. And
absolutely,
I think that's such a beautiful thing to think about. It makes you stop for a second because I think a lot of people sometimes, when it comes to their parents, they just see them as their parents. They don't necessarily see them beyond the fact that they're also human, and they're not perfect. But a lot of people hold parents to that higher standard. So I think that's such a beautiful thing to stop and think about. And I really appreciate that you and Dad have sat us all down and talked to us about it, because it really put a lot of things into perspective. Because we've talked about, it's not always sunshine and rainbows with family, especially with when it comes to extended family.
Because I think sometimes becoming a parent also teaches you to forgive or understand or explain things that your own parents did. I mean, absolutely. On the funny side, I remember calling my mother one time and just apologizing. And she said, "What are you apologizing for?" I said, "For being a child, because Alexandra had done something that really tapped me to the limit." And I'm like, just, I remember doing that. I need to apologize to my mother.
Right.
That is the one of the beauties. And as you said, the kind of knowledge that comes along with maturing and then definitely having a child that makes you see your parents, that they're people and that they did the best that they could do. And that's not the same for everyone. That's why families don't look the same. And your family may look different than your parents or your grandparents or your grandchildren's families. You just hope some of the core principles that Rose was talking about, respect and responsibility and acceptance and character and knowing right from wrong, doing right from wrong, are the things that get you passed from generation to generation.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think, unfortunately, I lost my mom when Christine was quite young, so she didn't get an opportunity to see my daughters grow like my husband's mother did. And she would be so proud of you.
She's with me always, Mama. When I came down to visit Alexandra a few years ago, we went and I forget what you had me do, Alex, with Brenda.
Oh, it was like an energy healing, energy work session.
Yeah, but she also shared so much with me. And I learned that Grandma, she's my protector. So she's with me always, watching out for me. So.
I believe that.
And she's keeping all the undeserving boys away.
Yes. So she's definitely, I think, has seen all of us grow. And I wish that we could have had the opportunity to talk with her. Woo! Still get emotional about it, even though I was like 7 when she passed.
Yeah.
Still right at the surface.
Very much so.
Ooh.
Yeah.
She was, because she was such an important person in my life. She supported me as I was growing up to the best of her ability. And I learned after having my own children to as Candace has said, offer more graces to her. Because like us, she didn't know what she was doing. She didn't have a playbook. She was figuring it all out. And she had four children, 3 years apart. So that was a long span of time raising children.
Right.
And so I think offering graces to our parents, knowing they're there, they're doing their best out of love.
My mother was 19 when her mother passed away. So she passed away while my mother was in college. And she was an only child. Her mother could only have one. And I think that just made motherhood so much more difficult for her. As you said, she was rather retiring and shy. And while my grandmother and my aunts and all of the family accepted her, I think she still always felt something adrift. And so she had three children in 4 years, myself and two younger brothers. And I think it was truly overwhelming for her. And without her mother, who was very important and instrumental, that I did understand to her, I think there was no substitute for that. I think it is very difficult for women to lose their mothers very young. My niece lost her mother at 14. And it just changes you. I think you lose the history and the comfort and the support. Even as adult, how many times, even as a mature adult, you think, oh God, I wish my mom were here to help me deal with this. Rose?
Absolutely. No doubt. What would she offer? Sometimes it's just lending it a sympathetic ear.
Yes.
That you're doing okay. This too shall pass. Mm-hmm. I think just having that person there for you is what makes it more bearable to get through those tough times.
Mm. It's a fundamental relationship.
Mm. Mom, is there anything that you would have wanted to do differently with me or something I should consider when I have children?
Done differently. I think that it was just the winging of it. Parenthood and figuring out you versus me and where you need to be and your strengths and how to play into those and how to help you navigate everything that you had to navigate from along the way with the dyslexia. And I know you've talked about that and that I wish that I had been a little bit more relaxed in parenting and maybe only one child. You multiple children help you. You get practice. You learn something. I'd like to think you learn and it gets not easier, but different. And you feel more comfortable with what you know and that. And so with Alexandra, it was always a first and then on to the next first and no chance to practice it with younger children. But I do know that along the way, I loved just observing and watching her, not only to see where to lead and direct her, but also to see who she was becoming and watch her talk and engage and interact with other people. And I realized that I liked her, which is different than loving your child. They come out, you're primed to love them. You grow to love them even more and more, and you can't believe how much you love them. But then there are these moments as they grow and become themselves and you look at them and say, I just like that person. I like the person they're becoming. And if they were a total stranger, I would make a point to get to know and would hope to be a friend with that person. From a very young age, she would do these things and go, I just like her. And I wish I had maybe shared that. I don't know if you felt that, Alexandra, that I just liked who you were becoming and liked who you are. And that was the gift back to me of parenthood, of seeing that and enjoying that. She still marvels me. Just last year when we were all at the beach and she was in this shop talking to the shop owner and asking questions and talking about who she wanted to be, where she wanted to go, and how did this person get, you know, their journey? How did they walk their journey? And I thought, I like that about her. I'm just so impressed and amazed at what she does and how she does it. That's the gift of motherhood, I think, right there. That's my reward. That's my gold star.
Mama, going off of what Alexandra's mom has just shared, she made me think about the fact that only having one child, not being able to relax into motherhood. Do you agree with that? Because with three, you and dad have affectionately called me the prototype. Because everything with me is the first time out, but you've also have two other kids. What would you have done differently? And were you able to do that when it came to Nicole and Victoria?
Well, somewhat. Because even though you were the prototype, we knew what to expect. But also take into consideration, Nicole and Tori are two completely different individuals. So their perspective on things was different from what we had with you. Yes. And we had a little bit to go on, and then navigating those waters with them made it somewhat easier. However, if I had to do some things differently, spending more time, leaving the dishes, leaving the wash, leaving other things, cleaning the house, to let's go out and make mud pies, let's go shopping, let's go get our nails done, just spending time together, developing our relationship more as outside of mother-daughter, like likes and dislikes. And I wish I'd done more of that when you were growing up and not be so worried about how things looked at home. What really was most important was you and your sisters and being with you.
Okay. So. I've certainly loved how our relationship has evolved as we have gotten older. Even though you may not have been able to do that when we were little, I think you've done that beautifully as we've grown into adulthood. So thank you for that.
I learned from past experiences. And Christine, when you went off to college, that to me was like a huge wake-up call. Wow, where did that time go? It happened so fast. And I made a promise to myself that I was going to spend more time going to lunch with you, going to thrift stores, or doing whatever interests we liked. And I also understood that your sisters may not have wanted that, and I respected that, but I was going to give them the opportunity to do that with me if they chose to. And I can say that I think I've done pretty well. They call me, as Tori calls me, and rants and for a half hour, and you're like, Mom, how can you handle that? How do you deal with that? And I'm like, because potentially one day that may stop.
Right.
And so what she needs right now is a friendly ear to listen and not tell her what to do or how to do it, but just to listen. So I like to say that I've just learned, as you guys have grown, I've learned how to grow with you to be a better person, a better parent.
I think the being in the moment is such a hard balance, whether one or two or three. They're, yes, unique personalities, so it's a different parenting experience. But the being in the moment is such a challenge when you're trying to get dinner and their homework done and their all of that, with just being there with them and those conversations. And I remember Alexandra being in a little seat on a countertop, and I was making dinner, chopping vegetables, and talking to her. And I did try to consciously interweave what I had to do with time with her. And some of that meant she learned to do some of those things, or at least saw me do those things, because that's the time that we had, especially when they're very young and their bedtimes or a certain hours that you have them are a little more abbreviated. But I would say it is a constant struggle to find that balance of what you have to do with what you want to do and the time you want to spend with your children and that. And then maybe the gift is, if you've laid enough foundation and the groundwork, that when they're adults, you can enjoy these conversations and these times and these activities with them, because you've done all that other, and treasure this too. This is easier and harder in some way now that you're adults. It really is. It's not a band-aid. It's more, you can't fix things. You more help them navigate. Mm-hmm. You listen to them fuss for a half hour on the phone about something, knowing it's in their hands. There's
absolutely,
you can't take it over. You can't take it over, fix it, make it right, change it. And that's an entirely different step in motherhood to change to. And when you don't do that, I think you see real conflict in adult relationships.
Absolutely. I would agree. I think too, also, one of the things that helped me was offering myself some graces, knowing that I was a human having a tough day at work and then coming home and navigating dinner, homework. One of the things that I had to learn was to offer myself some graces, saying I'm doing the best I can. My heart is in the right place. But I'm going to learn from these experiences, grow from them, and next time try to do better.
Yeah, I would agree. That's the driving force of parenthood, to learn and do better when you can.
Well, on those amazing foundations, let's kind of roll into our second section of how we turned out. I'm sure this is where people are definitely going to want to hear how well our moms think Christine and I turned out, because it's questionable at times. So, Rose and Candace, based on your parenting styles, how do you think Christine and I turned out?
Okay. I absolutely. You're going to start with your mom or mom?
Go ahead, okay. Rose. Jump in.
Well, Christine turned out far better than I ever imagined possible.
Stop.
The person she is today is, I'm just like, sometimes look at her like, wow, a lot of things came into play for her. And she's such a beautiful person. And she complimented me with the infectious smile. She has that same, her warmth, her smile lights up a room. She makes people immediately at ease and wanting to talk to her. And she has a great gift of connecting with people. She has a heart that's the size of the world. And with everything she does, she is grounded in that. She comes from a good place. And I'm absolutely thrilled. And more importantly, I'm thrilled that she loves being around me, hanging out with me. And I could say that we're really good friends, if not best friends at times.
We are. I say this all the time, Mama. I am who I am because of you. I definitely think we are reflections of one another. You are certainly one of my best friends. Thank you. You're going to make me cry. All those beautiful things.
I would say Christine is one of my favorite people in the world. And you are everything that your mother said you are. Really
Thank
special.
You. Thank you so much.
Amazing. Truly amazing. You were the gift I did not expect. I did not think or was told I would not be able to carry a child. So when you came along and persistently endured and made your way here, your first cry was the most magnificent gift I'd ever been given. And I'm grateful for every moment after that, truly. But saying that, I am, as I had said before, amazed, impressed, just so appreciative of who you've become as a person. And I'm just as anxious to see, I know where you've been, just as anxious to see where you're going to go, where your life is going to take you, how you hope to see your own children grow and see how that life and what you choose to do and how you integrate family into your the rest of who you want to be, all of who you want to be. So yeah, you're one of the highlights of my life.
Beautifully said, yeah. Candace. Beautiful.
Aw, thank you guys. So on those lovely notes and how you think we turned out, what would you each say is your favorite thing about us that you like an area that we best turned out in?
Christine amazes me with her ability to put things together from a party perspective or decorating perspective. Things that the things that I lack, she possesses. So I'm constantly amazed at her wonderful vision. I'd love to see things through her eyes and how she pulls things together, because I'm like, wow, how did she do that? Because I haven't a clue. And I just love that about her. She has such a beautiful way about everything she goes about doing. It's not clunky at all, like me. It's just flawless, in my opinion.
Thank you, Mama. Oh, gosh. You're making me blush.
I would say Alexandra constantly reminds me and admire her sense of possibility. She'd asked for a story, and I was thinking back when teaching her to cross the street, and she was very small, still holding her hands. We had not practiced looking both ways and what we do. So one day I decide I'm just going to ask her what she does, and what you need to do. And we're standing at the edge, and she watch her turn her little head both ways. And she's very seriously looking up the down the street. And I said, what are we looking for to make sure? And she goes, extremely seriously, monsters. And I thought, okay, you don't want to laugh out loud. And I'm thinking, okay. And she's dead serious. She is not playing here. And I said, okay, can we just also look for cars and bikes and trucks as we're crossing the street? And she goes, and she looks up at with me, you're just not getting this. Those aren't the serious things. And at that moment, it was another one of those lessons where, okay, monsters are like cars and trucks and everything, and that reality and possibility are very different from a child's perspective. And yet that has never changed. She continues to look at the possibility, explore the possibility of things that most people just don't really think are possible. And I love that mindset and energy about her, this kind of vision, and then her ability to turn that into something that is concrete continues to impress me. And she's not deterred by what other people think is impossible. She's just not deterred by it.
100%.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure this part, I know I'm looking forward to, but is there anything that you would like to good-naturedly roast both Christine and I about from growing up? Any fun stories that you would like to share and that Christine and I might blush at?
I'm sure I've given my mom a lot of ammunition in this regard, so I look forward to hear what my mom has to say.
Oh, boy. I'm going to let Candace go first.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, put me on the spot. I would say the thing that we have always and have always teased her for and try to lighten up is her absolute sense of perfectionism from the get-go. If she was writing something and it didn't look exactly right, she'd crumple it up and throw it away. And her father and I are kind of the perfectionist side, but she made a mission of it. And we just say it's okay to be outside the lines. It's okay to draw outside the boxes. Mm-hmm. It's all of that. And that is something that we tried to gently tease her through so that she could laugh at herself, so that she would stop thinking that these were mistakes and errors and failures, so that she would start to see them as, this is who I am. And sometimes you just have to laugh at yourself. And that perfectionism is not possible. It just isn't possible at any age. It's just not the human condition to be perfect. And to give yourself grace, the grace not to be perfect. And that sometimes there's a lot more to learn in those mistakes than sometimes successes. But yeah, they were always, the funny things were always from the, you know, just her frustration with not being perfect at something the first time. A virtuoso violinist the first time she picked up the violin in the bow. Yes, that is my darling, lovely daughter.
Yes, I'm constantly like, isn't there beauty in the imperfections of life? Isn't that what's truly beautiful? And she's like, I hate you. I'm like, I'm definitely like her sister in that regard. Poking fun at her.
Yeah, exactly.
I've had a lot of practice. All right, Mama, you're up.
I think the one thing I could kind of roast, I'm sure her sisters would come up with more, especially when it comes to their nickname for her. That's one thing that she is, don't go there. But I could tease her about to see the look on Christine's face is... Yeah, that's always been something I secretly chuckled at.
Nice.
It really crossed at her when they get going on that one.
I still don't understand how it took us until I became an adult for it to become a thing. They had this potentially since they were little, but now they decide to bring it out. And I'm like, curse you. Stop.
Exactly. But I think the one thing I could tease Christine about is her complete, utter dislike of doing the dishes. She hates doing the dishes to the point where when I come visit her in her apartment, that the sink is full of dishes and I help her out because she doesn't have a dishwasher. She does try, but she totally hates that process.
Silverware. It's the worst possible thing for me. I can't do it. It drives me up a wall. I'm surprised you haven't brought out the laundry thing, Mom.
The laundry? Yeah. How you bring your laundry here at my house?
I'm thinking back to when I was a kid and how you clean all of our clothes, you fold everything, and then we could never put it away.
Yeah. They would never put it away. You know what they would do? They would take clean, folded clothes and throw them in the hamper just to be rewashed again. Oh, yeah.
I don't remember doing that so much as throwing it on the floor of my closet.
Lines crossed.
I don't know what it is.
Lines crossed there.
Even as an adult now, I don't mind doing the laundry and folding, but you couldn't pay me.
Putting it away.
You couldn't pay me $1 million to put my clothes away. I don't get it. I just don't get it. I often why am I like this? I don't know. I don't have an answer. Oh gosh. I don't know. I don't know if it's I need to downsize clothing or what, but I just can't. I can't do it. I try and make it a game, see how fast I can do it. That's how I get things done. That's what's been working in the last couple of months. Yeah.
Is trying to figure out where to put it.
Yes. That's what I do. I set a timer for 15 minutes and see how much I can put away in that time. And then I get really defeated when I haven't made a dent in 15 minutes.
Perhaps we should revisit the downsizing of items then.
I think you might be right, Mom. Yeah. I think I need to do a major closet purge.
Or maybe not so much laundry at one time.
Oh, boy. Alrighty. On that note, why don't we switch gears a little bit and talk a little bit about Mother's Day, because that's coming up, be right around the corner and here before we know it. Why don't you, Mama and Candace, share with us any stories you have that we haven't covered yet or that you want to share before we dive into Mother's Day of past and talk about those stories.
Okay. I think when this question came up, the very first thing that came to my mind, and Christine, you're going to have to help me with this. I believe it was your senior year of high school.
Yes.
And you were giving a speech at school for the May crowning. Mm-hmm. And you had a line in your speech that floored me. To this day, I think about it, and it never dawned on me before that moment. You said, only a child knows what their mother's heartbeat sounds from within. And that just, the connection I felt with you at that moment in time was quite literally one of the proudest moments. That I brought such a beautiful person in the world who recognized the importance of that. Mm-hmm. Wow. So that was one of my fondest memories. And always spending time with all three of you together and the bantering that goes on. I love that.
Yeah.
I absolutely love that.
We should take it on the road.
And the shenanigans.
the three of
us. You should have, and the shenanigans that happen. Yeah. It's a comedy scene for sure.
Yes.
So I would be remiss if I didn't include your sisters in those special memories. Is just spending time with the three of you is truly great joy for me.
I think it's those memories and the time together. That's the gift. People think they need to give gifts, but the gift is your time and your presence and the laughter and the fun. I remember Mother's Days, Christmases, birthdays that are tied to something that we did and usually had a lot of laughs along the way doing it. And I think that's what makes those days special, and always try to do those things. It's my favorite thing. Even I'm thinking of like even last year, Alexandra, with the first year after your father passed away, it was hard to think about celebrating Mother's Day or Father's Day without him. But you planned a special day at the vineyard and we went, and it was sunny and breezy and beautiful, and the kitchen was backed up for over an hour. So we sat there and just watched, and Daddy's favorite bird, he loved cardinals, and it's also the North Carolina state bird, but he loved cardinals, and there were just cardinals there, and it was just as if, yeah, we're still all together, we're still laughing and enjoying this time and sharing this time, and it's just one of those memories I will always treasure. And I know it was really difficult for Alexandra to plan and to do that for me, but she did.
Yeah, absolutely. Beautiful.
She's a lovely girl.
Before we get too much further, I think there was a funny story that my mom wanted to tell about somewhat my precociousness as a child and how I liked things to look. There was a story specifically about Joseph in the manger. So, Mom, do you want to share that?
Oh, yeah. Alexandra has visions of how things look. And as I said, she's good at execution. And so when she was really little, maybe she would have been 3 to 4. So early Christmases, the manger's out and the figurines would have Joseph and Mary around the with the baby and Jesus. And we'd be lit up and I'd walk by and Joseph would be out in the stable with the sheep. And I'd move Joseph back. Eventually, I did figure out it was her. And the next thing I know, I'd walk by, Joseph's back out in the stable. And I'm like, Alexander, why is Joseph out in the stable? And I know she said, because he needs to be there. And that was her explanation. It's okay. But then her godmother also said she'd come in the house and she didn't wear a figurine or a vase or something was, and she'd shift it somewhere else. And if asked why, she says it's better there. So for whatever reason, yeah, that's her better there than she likes to. She has an idea. She puts it into action. But yeah, we never really did figure out. And I don't know that you ever really gave us an answer to why you thought that was where he needed to be out there, taking care of the animals. But it was funny.
Well, why don't we, Alexandra, you and I take a few minutes to maybe talk about what plans we have in store this year for Mother's Day. This year, Mom and I, we're going on a little road trip up to visit Nicole in Boston. Her roommate, Gianna, is graduating from law school, and it just so happens to fall on Mother's Day weekend. So we're taking a road trip up there, and we'll be spending some time with Nicole and her friends. Really looking forward to that.
Yeah.
I have a couple of things cooking, little treasures I'm going to be bringing along the way to give Mom, but that's what I've got in store. How about you, Alexandra?
Well, for this year, I know Mom briefly talked about what we did last year, but this year, my sister and her friend got both my mom and I for our birthdays a certificate to go make terrariums right in Charlotte where they live. So we're going to go down to Charlotte on Mother's Day, and our plan is to spend time with my sister Simi and our friend Jordan and do this plant terrarium making workshop, which I'm really excited to do. And then either we're going to take Mom to lunch prior to that
or dinner after, depending on when we schedule the time. But I'm really looking forward to being able to spend this Mother's Day with both Mom, Simi, and Jordan. I think it'll be a nice evolution of our Mother's Days together.
That sounds so fun.
I love it. To me, that's like the perfect thing, is to go and doing something together like that. And then you leave with a terrarium of plants.
There you go.
So,
that's a fun time.
And great memories.
Exactly.
Mama, is there anything you want to do while we're up in Boston? I know we haven't really had a chance to talk about it yet. Might as well now.
I just really, I'm hopeful that the weather will cooperate and we can spend some time. Nicole lives in the north end of Boston, so there's a lot of historic areas there. So just walking around together, exploring that area with the girls, also celebrating Gianna. Mm-hmm. This is a huge achievement for her, graduating from law school. And unfortunately, her own mother will not be able to make it. I'm really excited about being able to share that time with her, to celebrate her and her achievement.
Yeah.
So I'm just really looking forward to it. It's such a beautiful waterfront area we can walk. So just being together and exploring new areas.
Absolutely. I think there's a museum that, I think, is it the something Gardner Museum? Alexandra, do you know that one in Boston? There's a museum in Boston. It's actually, this is a little bit of a tangent and side note, but there was a Netflix documentary about this museum because it had the biggest robbery at a museum. Anyway, that's not why I want to go there. But it has a beautiful garden courtyard area. So I was thinking, I don't know if we'll have time, but maybe we can go check that out as a group and spend an afternoon there if that's something you'd be interested in. So I don't know. There's lots to do. I've also never done a sail on the harbor?
Yes, on the inner harbor there.
Yeah, so we also always love like a nice sailboat ride. So yeah, really looking forward to this year's Mother's Day celebration. And it's just going to be good to all be together and celebrate our mom because she's pretty remarkable. Both of you are.
Oh, thank you. Well, I think it's safe to say, listening to the two of you and how you interact with each other and others shows us we did good work. Well done, Candace.
Well done, Rose. It's definitely our pat on the back for a job well done. Yeah,
well
you're
done.
Beautiful women. You're beautiful mm-hmm. women. You've got great spirit and great energy, and I am thrilled to be able to see what you do now and what you will do in the future. I have great expectations in the best way possible for you.
Yeah. I've been blushing this whole time. If you could see me.
As we wrap up today's episode, I can't but help feel grateful for the incredible women who shaped us into who we are today. From their unique parenting styles to the lessons they imparted, our mothers have left an indelible mark on our lives. With Mother's Day just around the corner, it's the perfect time to reflect on the love, sacrifices, and laughter they have given us. But our journey doesn't end here. Join us next week as we delve into the evolution of our relationships with our mothers, from caregivers to confidants. It's a conversation you won't want to miss. So mark your calendars and tune in for part 2 of our special series. Until then, remember to cherish those special moments with your moms and keep spreading the love. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Enjoying the conversations we're having and the topics we're discussing? Consider supporting us through our Buy Us a Coffee page. We greatly appreciate any help in creating this podcast we love so much. Link in our show notes and Linktree. Before we end, don't forget to like, subscribe, or follow us on your preferred listening platform, and we'll catch you next time.